Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you forever. We give you all the praise. Yours is the glory, and yours is the praise, and yours is the honor. To pass all these things over to you, we worship you. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you. We praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory. 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 Glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship. Worship you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Why don't you greet somebody? I'm going to greet you that are watching. We love you. We're glad you're here with us tonight. Probably be an abbreviated service, but we're just glad that you're with us, and we appreciate you being in the presence of God with us. So why don't you greet somebody, say hello, and welcome to this wonderful Wednesday night service before Christmas. Blessings to all of you. We love you. Praise God. Amen. Tonight, if you have something to give, we're going to put a dispenser at the back door, and you can give it. And if you're not here, you can't give one at the back door, but if you'd like to give, then there's a way to do that. And you probably know by now, you can give through PayPal, you can send. We still accept snail mail, and we accept it. Praise God. And we praise the Lord for it, whatever way that God speaks to you to give it. Well, it's going to get cold this weekend. This is probably one of the colder Christmases. For those of you who are watching, if you're in Dayton or Tulsa or, you know, someplace you could probably mock our fun, but Gary's always pulling with us because I send back and forth, and of course Jim is too, but I often talk to Gary about send some cold weather down here, but so Christmas is going to be one of our cooler Christmases in a while. We usually can, you know, it's 85 or something on Christmas and hardly able to celebrate, but this one's going to be different. So I think what's the day start? Upper 30s maybe, and it doesn't warm up to maybe just in the 50s all day long. So it's going to be chilly. Sunday's going to, you know, that's going to be a cool day. Christmas Eve, hallelujah. If you're cold in here, you're really going to be cold outside during those few days, hallelujah. So we're not going to keep you long tonight, but we've had an assignment of the last... by the way, no church on Sunday because that's Christmas. I'll meet you again here next Wednesday night. We'll have service, and then the following Sunday will be New Year's Day, and we will have service that morning, but not that night. Hallelujah. Tonight we're just going to continue on the assignment the Lord gave us several weeks ago, and that's to do at least a couple of the blueprint prophecies each time, each Wednesday night. So we don't have those to pass out. They're on our website. If you want to just go ahead, if you're, you know, sitting in here and you've got your you should have an icon on your phone by now that says Family Prayer Center or, you know, Bronc Flint Ministries. You can just tap that, go to the, what is it? They're back there on the back. You know, if you need that, if you can run back there, you can get them on the back table. But go to the website right now. It's on the first, you know, it's on the face page, and those PDFs are there. I'll direct your attention to which ones we're going to cover in just a moment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's pray. Father, we worship you. We glorify you because we're entering into revival. We can feel it. We can taste it. We can smell it. It's in the Spirit. These things are ours. We believed you for them, and we know they will come to pass. And they are coming to pass, present tense in our spirits. We thank you for those that are watching, Father. We just say in Jesus' name as we enter into their living room or wherever they're at, the power of God will be felt, experienced through these words that we speak even tonight. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. How's the temperature? Too cold up here? Just right? Okay. Hallelujah. Let's go to the October 27th of 2019. Can you believe how much time has passed? It's called Endure in the Fight. And we're going to look at these four paragraphs. Before we do, let me say a few things to you. And things that I'll tiptoe around because it's the feasting season right now, not the fasting. It's the feasting season. But as you know, you go to this church where this guy named Bronk Flint just keeps, and I'm going to blame it all on Miss Barbara. She's the one that, she's kind of, you know, you come at me, I'm going to say, well, it's Barbara's fault. So she got us started years ago and introduced us, and we've been on it ever since for over 25 years. We're going into 26 full-time ministry here. And it's just stronger in us now than it's ever been. It's stronger in us now than it's ever been. There's not even a thought of backing up. There's not even a thought of giving up. There's not a thought of watering this down. So right in the middle of feasting season, I'll say this. Begin to make plans for fasting season. I was at my calendar today, and I didn't do it so I could say it to you. I didn't do it. It came on me a couple weeks ago. How many days? My wife's been so busy today with grandkids. She makes her own decisions. I never say, you do this, but she always goes with me. So she'll be after, like, what days did you black out? But I know what dates. And see, if you don't do something, and all, everything can change. I mean, you know, family can come or this, that, the other. We'll get through the holidays. But if you don't have a plan, you get beat out of it. You just absolutely get beat out of it. Because if you don't have some kind of deliberate blackout dates or some kind of plan. Now, there's only a couple people I consider in this church that's non-eligible. And we've got a couple pregnant ladies that come to our church, present tense. I wish I could be pregnant. So. Man. Golly, but so go ahead and enjoy your time for feasting. Be praying, God, where and what and how, because the Holy Spirit's a real person, and He'll begin to communicate with you. The when, the where, the how, the how much, the particulars of setting aside time for really going in this new year. I'm so hungry. I really am. And for more of God. So much for more of God. And this path that Pastor Dave started us on years ago through the Holy Spirit, it's stronger than ever before. The love for praying in tongues, and I've just been in that, hey, you got to see it. You'll get an opportunity soon to see what God has blessed us with and that new office I have. And so I'm spending time in that new office praying in tongues, worshiping the Lord, and magnifying Him. And I was doing that before, but boy, it's a pleasant place to be. But go ahead and enjoy the time of feasting. But I like, you can't get around it. I like what Alan Taylor, he said about, you know, how your flesh is. And you know how I've said, don't trust your flesh. You just know how it is. It'll tell you, it'll barter with you. But it's always a liar. It'll tell you, if you'll let me have my way now, I won't bother you when you start fasting. Go ahead and eat the the third and the fourth piece of pie. I won't, when you start next month, you go ahead and indulge now. Let me have my way. And then when it gets time for you to fast, I'll back up, shut up, and you'll have your... You won't be in it the first morning, the first meal. And it'll say, this is harder than what I thought it was going to be. You told me you weren't going to say anything if I'd let you have those extra two pieces of pie. It's all by grace. That Pastor Bronk, he's just a, he's a tyrant. We need to just, it's just the love of God. Let's just walk in the love of God. Have you ever heard that before? Oh, yeah. The flesh will lie to you. I'll leave you alone, and then it, you don't even get to noon. It'll say, this is hard. Hallelujah. Okay, so endure in the fight. Let's look at, because the Lord said, go back to, and review some of the, review all of these. And so we're four, five, six along here. And I'll comment, and we'll be out of here probably, maybe by eight, who knows. Endure in the fight. Many of your hearts are turned aside, fighting the battle. Some on many fronts, financially, physically, emotionally. For the drain in the fight of the battle has been part of your distraction. But I say unto you, lift yourself up. Shake yourself and let me stir you. Let me stir you beyond the place that you walk in today. Let this be a place where I infuse my strength into your hearts. That it goes beyond a determination of the mind, but a strength infused by my spirit. To cause you to begin to continue day and night to pray the mysteries and walk in my spirit and pray in my spirit. Leave the parking lot today, praying in the spirit. Fellowship at all times, all through the day with me and others, intermittent praying. Find yourselves praying in the spirit because in it is my desire to lift you up. I desire to take you past the burdens and the fight. I've asked you to endure in the fight. I've asked you to endure in the fight, but I have not asked you to endure the things that have come that bring the fight. That's a great distinction. I love that. I have not asked you to endure sickness, depression, poverty, as to let them rule over you or lord over you. But I've asked you to endure a fight against them, a fight, a good fight. But let me take the weight of this fight, says the Spirit of the Lord. We've got two more paragraphs in that. I'll finish in a moment. As every year, and this is no exception, 2022 has had incredible amounts of distractions. And that is not, it's indicative of the walk that we're on. It's indicative of life. In general, but when you become a full-fledged, bona fide, certified revivalist, and you begin to really walk into where that intimacy is the order of the day, and then you begin to say, Lord, I'm selling out, have not arrived, but I know that there is something inside of me that's stronger than just Pastor Bronk preaching to me. It's me and you. I'm yielded to you. I found my place. And you have to understand that there is, as I've said so many times before, I'll continue to say it, there's not a lot in the earth. I mean, there's a lot of people that know him. There's a lot of people, brothers and sisters, are going to heaven. But as in proportion to, and this is part of a prophecy, as in proportion to the body of Christ at large, and he said especially in America, there's not a lot that have our assignment or have accepted our assignment. And so when distractions come, you've got to really get to a place, and I'm talking about everybody has at times a car trouble, a washing machine breaks down, or this, that, and the other. But when people die, years before their time. When churches, facilities, buildings are, for whatever reason, shut down temporarily. When all kinds of different things come against the movement, and I say the movement because this is larger than us, and all kinds of different things, you've got to get to a place where you realize that what is coming against me, when family members die and different things come that are just, they come in bunches. They come in bunches. It's all to detour us and get us off of the walk. I was sitting right there tonight, and it wasn't coming out of discouragement. I'm giving you some personal stuff now, just personal. I said, Lord, because I know that, and I only say this. I'm not saying this to encourage us to say, let's keep going. If we have the revival, and I say that with all faith, then this place or anything like it will never hold us. If it explodes, if in 1 year it explodes, and we really do get what we've confessing, there'll be hundreds and then thousands, and I don't know. I have no idea on the logistics of that. God's wisdom will have to come, and there'll be so the masses will be great. The wonderful things will still be taking place. We'll still be doing the things. Instead of Miss Gay leading 10, that's a large number, by the way, on Sunday night at times. It'll be 500, 600, 700. The boys will be ministering on some kind of, even if it's a tent, where there'll be hundreds and hundreds and sometimes thousands. But I was telling the Lord, and I say this to him all the time. I don't say it to get his attention. I'm just letting you inside some kind of room of intimacy. I want that only because he wants that, and it's the harvest, and I love souls, and I want to see souls saved. But that's all peripheral. How's the words, Lord? That's all beside the point. What I want more than anything else is I want to know him face to face. I want to know him in a place of intimacy that's undescribable by all things. I want, as Catherine Kuhlman said, and I don't say that I'm ready for this of myself, but I desire with all my heart to die 1,000 deaths. To die 1,000 deaths. To transition that there's nothing left of me, but all things are him. And that for me to say, as Paul said in Galatians 2:20, it's not I, but it's Christ in me. You see me, you see Christ. You see Christ. It's all of him. When that happens, the miracles will flow like water. You won't have to even ask for them. But I love him. I love him more than the imagination of greatness or great things taking place. I want him. And he said, and I said, Lord, if this really was all I ever had was just this place of intimacy, which I'm growing in continually, that's more than enough. But why wouldn't he give us the rest of it? Because that's his heart. So distractions, we've got to understand that on the kids nowadays wouldn't, you don't get this. But when I was a kid, I barely can remember this, but they would put most wanted and those kinds of things in the post office. You'd have pictures. They don't do that anymore. So to use the phrase, you're on the most wanted list at the post office, your picture's on the most wanted list in the post office of hell, that probably doesn't do any kind of justice of understanding. But in other words, hell does not like you if you're a revivalist. And you've got to understand that attitudes in the family, different things that are happening, a lot of stuff that happens around you, you've just got to walk in a sense of not being insensitive, You've got to be sensitive and take care of things. But you better walk with a blinders, with an understanding that on my right and on my left, there's always going to be something that's grabbing and gabbing and grabbing and trying to get my attention just enough to debilitate me and take me out of my assignment. So you got to get real straightforward and say, oh, okay, you're just another distraction. You're 15 on the day. You're 16, 17. So there's a lot of distractions that will continue to come. I can't wait to, God's put something in my heart. Man, I like being off with the family, but man, I've got something raging in me for January 1st. And, but here's the thing. I also got something really wonderful to share out of John 17, and that's another message. You know, the greatest thing about walking in a place of intimacy is having two or three or four or five revelations fighting on the inside of you for which one gets to be shown, gets to be ministered. It's fun. Hallelujah. And I don't come up with them. I just read His Word and pray in tongues and worship. So I want to do the one on the first concerning, because the Lord's been sharing a lot out of the Father's house, a place we've turned ours. We've been doing it 4 or 5 weeks. A place in the Father. Monay. Hallelujah. So there's a fight for distractions. But while you're worshiping me, and this is the third paragraph, and giving yourself over to tongues and to my word, know this, that I'm building you up on your most holy faith. I'm preparing inside of you a continual answer against those things that have come to lead you astray with such a force against your emotions that it's hard to stand. Let me shore you up. Let me be a father to you, and let me once again get over to you how much I love you as my sons and my daughters. In my strength and in my affirmation of my love to you, there's a great strength, says the Spirit of grace. Give yourselves over to this place. The more you do it, the more you will come up. The more you'll stand, and when you forget for a day or for a season, go right back in. I'll continue to be there to remind you you're not lost, your mind, and I know where you're at. Hallelujah. Now let's see if in the next 20 minutes we can do this one. This is the intimacy is the hour that you live in, and my goodness, this is if there's a heart and soul to the prophetic promises in the 2020 blueprint, it's not 2020. I've said that before, but it's the blueprint. It goes into these 2023 as well. Many of you are hearing the cry of heaven, says the Spirit of grace. For I'm saying unto you in your spirit, that compass that goes beyond all reason. It is beyond the mind. It's deeper than the intellectual thought. The cry of heaven is for you to come away. Come away with me, says the Spirit of grace. Now, I just got to stop right there. Gary's been teaching on John 14:15. Homer did a message last week. What was it? The Room. It was wonderful. I guarantee you. And Jim, he's just following God and producing all this wonderful stuff as well. But the heart of the Father right now is continue to remind us, come to this place. Come into this room of intimacy. Homer, you know, knows the Word of God like nobody else's business, but I appreciated so many of the things that he said. He said the Lord is kind of correcting him, directing him, that it's the Word that lives inside of all of us has to live through that place of intimacy. That's the fuel for that word. That's the fuel for it. That's what makes it alive, is that intimacy that we share with Him. The cry of heaven is for you to come away. Come away, says the Spirit of grace. To you who are hearing this cry, to you, it is feels like there's a desire inside of you. You'd just be satisfied to go and sit somewhere and exhaust yourself in prayer, praying the mysteries until nothing was left, hour after hour, moment after moment. This is the cry that I'm giving to the church who hears, who has ears to hear. How many have felt like at times, Lord, I just wish, you know, I just wish I could just go someplace and just lock up. You take care of all the family, take care of all the, just lock up and just somebody come. You know, you've been in there a week. You know, you've been in there a month. Hour after hour after hour. I love praying in tongues. Come away with me, my beloved. Come away with me. For I must woo you into a place of intimacy to have you as the forerunners of this great outpouring. Will you do it? Will you come away? Will you find that private place and that corporate place to seek me and to sit and come away? Will you push back the hours and find room for me and sacrifice time? Will you find a way through my wisdom to steal moments and time to pray and intercede? For I'm laying on my church, male and female, young and old, a desire to pray and a desire to intercede. Even those who do not consider themselves as intercessors, I'm laying upon you the burden of intercession. For did I not say that my yoke is easy and my burden is light? There's a refreshing in this burden. All who take it on, all who receive it and embrace it, find life, says the Spirit of the Lord. There is a death to the flesh, but a life to the Spirit. The trade-off is beyond measure, says the Spirit of the Lord. Repeats it, the trade-off is beyond measure. Seek me. Find opportunity. Find excuses to steal away and sit with me and pray. So much depends on you. You have not even yet realized how much depends on you. You have not yet realized how jealous I am over you. I'm very jealous, in a godly manner over you, says the Spirit of the Lord. For I have birthed you for this reason, and therefore, like a mother who would protect her children, like a father who would watch over and keep back that which would come in to molest and to destroy, my Spirit watches over this place and all other places where this cry is going out, where ears, spiritual ears, are being able to hear these things, says the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord said in that beginning of that, He said, find every opportunity to steal away. So the more you do it, when you're talking to somebody about going into God, it's all relevant to how much they want of God, to how much they're really going to go in, that desire. But it's self-induced. It has an inertia to it, really does. I don't know, maybe that's... Because the more you do it, then you create your own kind of inclination to want more. So it's hard to start with for a person to try to get that over to them, because you're describing an intimacy that you have. You're trying to convey it like, man, you'll never back up from this once you get into it. But if they'll ever do it enough, it's like a snowball rolling downhill that just gains more snow and more inertia, and it's just like an avalanche after a while. And you'll find opportunity. When I was dating Candy just a few days ago, going on 45 years this June. Can you believe that? It's amazing. So 45, 46, 47, because we dated a couple years. You know, we were ripe old age of 18. My God, when we got married. They said it would never work. We proved them wrong. But 16, 17 is just babies. I mean, now I look at my kids, my grandkids, I'm saying, my God, we didn't do that. Jesus, God Almighty, how did we even, man, We didn't know how to tie our shoe at 18, dear Lord. But it's 16, 17, we're dating, and you're giddy, but you're starting to fall in love. I don't know that you really know really what, but you do. You do fall in love, and then you fall in love, and then you fall in love, and then, but you find every opportunity to talk on the phone. We didn't have cell phones then. My God, if I'd had cell phones then, I'd have burned 4 or 5 of them up. But she lived in North Fort Myers. I lived in South Fort, or I lived over in Buckingham area. And if there was any way that I could borrow the car, I didn't even have my own car then. Just any excuse. Mama, do you need any bread over in North Fort Myers? Anything, 5 minutes was like, so we have to fall in love with him. I have to fall in love with him in the same way. Five, I guess that's paragraph 5. I'm very gentle with those I put on your right hand and on your left hand bumper rails to cause you to be able to know yes to this and no to that. And that's not always sin, what he's talking about here. It's like, okay, 2023, what's gonna come that's going to be a deterrent? Now, there's good things the Lord will give us. And there might be some job opportunities. There might be some investment opportunities. There might be. But what things are, yes, we know the yes and no, the bumper rails of sin. But more importantly, what's going to keep us out of prayer or spending those hours? The yes and no to that. Because all things, though they are lawful, they're not expedient. Though many things might be permissible, they are not expedient to you who are hearing this cry from heaven. Come away, come away, come away with me, my sons and daughters, long after lust after, with a godly lust, with a desire that exceeds all desires in the earth, to know me in intimacy. There's a reward for you. Not just a heavenly, not just in the heavenly places in times to come, for there is a reward, a present tense, says the Spirit of grace. When I wrap my arms around you and use you in intercession to change many things in the days ahead, when you watch these things, I will witness to you on the inside. Your prayers did these things. Your prayers opened up an avenue for this one to be healed and for that one to be delivered and many things to be set in the progress of this outpouring. You'll rejoice. You'll be exceedingly glad when others cannot understand your joy. You'll be like a mother that gave birth, both male and female. You'll understand the joy of giving birth. I've called you. I saw you before you were born, having a timelessness in myself, and I desired many, many to go this route. But by your own election, you have chosen. So I come to you with jealousy. I come to you with a desire. I'm placing that desire stronger and stronger inside of you. Now, this is the mystery. I don't get this exactly. There's a great mystery in the will, your will. For us to think that God would lay his hand on somebody and just make them want him is incorrect. I can't worship myself in you for you, right? I still don't quite get this, but I do get it. How that God's Spirit can come to two men side by side, or two women side by side, two brothers, two sisters, or 4 or 5 in a family, present himself, but then it's still, I mean, just present himself and just come and visit them. It's like an invitation, like, would you like more of this? But there's nothing about that makes them want to come, as in forcing himself. It's a solicitation. But whether or not the individual ever goes in, this is a mystery. You've given the book, and you've talked to your family and different ones, and we've had so many people here and different ones that they'd get this, and this walk would be like, I'll never leave this. And then there's a bunch that you'd present it to, and they'd look at it and they'd say, I don't get it. I don't get why. But it's there's places of peace and intimacy, and there's a how-to. That we've got a how-to. We don't just tell you that it's not a fairy tale. We can tell you the exact how-to. We've got five different scripted inroads, five different ways that are the how-tos. And if you'll do those five, you'll come to a place of stability, mental, emotional stability. You'll love life. You'll know God's. And then you'll, that appeal will get them. It got at you. It got us. Some, it's like, thanks, but no thanks. But isn't it amazing, the human will? The human will is what decides whether or not who goes to heaven or hell. It's just up to you. You get the same God appealing with the same presence. I've got family members that this thing has been presented to, and they love God. They're just not ready for this. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Hallelujah. Somebody tell me where I'm at. Which one? Incredible gladness. That's eight. Incredible gladness is in front of you in the days ahead, says the Spirit of grace. You will be glad for every moment that you fought back the temptation to quit. You will be glad for every moment that you've walked past an offense that could have diverted you from the right hand to the left. You'll watch the children come in. The little ones will be healed, and you'll watch people from all walks of life come in and be healed. Yes, the children coming out of the groves and coming out of pastures and coming out of places of obscurity, you'll watch them be healed, and you would trade another 10 lives for more of the opportunity to give yourself over to this divine intercession, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Ninth paragraph. You know, I numbered these. Remember when Miss Gay ministered and she had us number the paragraph? I thought that was a great idea. That helped me. You know, in this year, get ready, you preachers, we're going to have you minister again. So, and probably a whole lot more than in the past. And I'm going to get some of my worship leaders to be ministering. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Intimacy is the hour that you live in. I call you. I call you apart. I desire you as a jealous husband with a godly desire for that which he has received, that which has been given him. My Father has given me my God. Yes, Lord, we are your jealousy. My Father has given me my spouse bride, and I'm very jealous over you. I hold you with greatest regards. I nurture you whenever I can and fill you wherever I can. When you give me this, come away with me. Come away with me, my bride. And that's it. That's it. I thought it was another page. Come away. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Why don't you stand? I know you're going to have a wonderful Christmas, and all of you that are watching, we love you so much. Merry Christmas to you. And you have a wonderful Christmas when you really know the place and the place where we're headed and the place that we're already in. We're not only headed to a place, we're already in it. We're already in this place. Hallelujah. Revival is only going to get me more of this, but I'm already here. Praise God. You're already here. Hallelujah. So, Father, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to our friends, our family. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, the first one bearing a gift, Lord, to the earth, was you giving your Son. And we love you. We thank you for this. Mostly, we thank you for what he's provided in sonship, in knowing that we're not only going to receive a home in heaven in a positional truth, but you provided a place in the Father that, Lord, that you have a staying in us and a staying around us. And we thank you for it. Bless the hearer of the word and the family members watching and all of everyone. Lord, bless their Christmas. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for your giving. There's something in the back if you want to give. God bless you. We'll see you a week from tonight. Amen.